God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible. Shout it.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Herein lies the mystery of love. For every little kiss, there's a little teardrop. For every single thrill, there's another heartache. The road is rough, the going gets tough. But love is a hurting thing. That's why we're afraid of it. And yet those pastors, those evangelists, those apostles and prophets and teachers are supposed to teach you how to love. That's what we're supposed to teach you. We spend most of our time in theology coming up with little sayings and themes to articulate our theology. Praise the Lord, today I'm going to talk to you about how you should never give up. And the person seated next to you is feeling your anger. You can't stand. Aren't there some people in your life that you just can't stand? Some of you just can't stand President Trump. You just can't stand him. And every time he talks about former President Obama, you really can't stand him some more. You make it ethnic. Oh, yeah, well, praise the Lord. The only reason why he's saying that. But you're supposed to be the light. You are not called to hate President Trump. You are called to pray for him. You are called to bring him before the Lord as a sacrifice. You say, well, then, Pastor, how do I deal with his policies that are so injurious to me as a middle-class person? I ain't telling you. Child is 6 months old, and a fire breaks out. Child don't know what to do, so they lay there in panic. They cry. They are overwhelmed by the smoke and the situation as it unfolds in front of them. They cry until someone rescues them. But if they're 15 years old and the fire breaks out, you expect them to throw some water on it because you've trained them. Why is it that we revert back to the ignorance of childhood instead of the mature response that we've been called? Isn't this what Paul is saying in chapter 4 and 5, that you and I have been called to maturity, and the things that hurt us so badly in our infancy ought to be done away with when we become mature? Isn't Paul saying that we are no longer to walk like unbelievers who wear their feelings on their sleeve and they get upset when somebody walks by? He didn't even speak to me. Well, so the heck what? You're all upset. And see, they don't walk in love over there. There's always they. That's what our president does. Everybody knows it. Who's everybody? You don't go nowhere. How can you say everybody knows it? Who's your everybody? Our everybody and your everybody ain't the same. Our everybody don't have billions of dollars. When you got billions of dollars, your everybody different. See, that's why we can say everybody on food stamps. He can't say that. But your reality comes from your socialization. Paul is trying to change your socialization. Don't think like other Gentiles. Here you are, a child of God, and you're still bitter with someone. They owe me $25 from 15 years ago. Or let's make it more practical. Or, maybe they don't owe you any money. Maybe they've said something about it. And watch this. It might even be true. You confess something to them, and they should not repeat it, and they've done it. And Jesus says to the young man in Mark, you got to love people like you love you. Now we come to the root of this thing. The reason why so many of us don't love people is because we don't love us. There's no indictment here. There's no devil to bind. You come to the altar 37 times for each altar call that is made, and you're looking for a touch from God. But the honest truth is, you're not really looking for a touch from God for something spiritual. You want God to heal you from you. All your life, you've been beat up, put down, told you can't do something. It has become part of your thought process. Every challenge is met with a resistance that causes you to give up in the middle because you've been told that you are a failure. You've never seen love modeled in your home. Your whole family existence has been one of broken marriages and feelings that did not matter to anybody else. You never had a voice. You never had any concern showed. Even when you were late coming home, they didn't even miss you. And
And so now you step into the holiness of God and the reality of true love, and you find that you're out there in left field and not know what to do. And so that makes you highly susceptible to bad relationships. You look for God in the person you want to marry, just like some of you look for God in your pastor. And when God doesn't show up, you become angry and temperamental, and you stay out of church. Because, pastor, you didn't call me. Well, you didn't call me. When I laid up in that hospital, you didn't call me. And when you found out about it, you didn't even come down and say, are you all right? Because you don't care. You care that I'm here to feed you. That's all you care about. That I'm here to be there for you. So call Denise. Denise, get me a time to sit with the pastor, because God gave him here. And he's supposed to. So let's just keep taking from him. Now, I'm not saying that from a position of weakness. I don't care if you don't care. I love you anyway. Amen. And that's how I demonstrate my love. I know you don't like me, but I preach out my heart every time we're together. Yeah. I went to see Pastor McKeithen in the hospital, and when I came to his room, he sat up and said, oh my God, what you doing here? Because he had heard that I only come to see you when I know you're going to die. We still talk about that today. I said, man, I grew up with you. You're different. You're different. Sister McKeithen and I went to the same grade school and junior high school together, and he grew up in the same neighborhood. And so I had to come see you. He said, what you doing here, man? You scared the daylights out of me. But the point that I make to you is that Paul, if you follow the train of thought, he starts with the ministry gifts. And he brings you to a place of maturity and stability. At no point does he mention ministry. Something is strange in this context. Paul talks about the work of ministry, but he never identifies it up until now. Again, we think that the work of ministry is literally the work of ministry. Literally. That I'm supposed to equip you by teaching you. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus had 12. He never taught them how to lay hands. In fact, they didn't even want that. In their entire time with Jesus, they only asked for one thing. Teach us how to pray. In my entire ministry travel, I've never had anyone ask me to teach them how to pray. They've asked me to teach them how to serve communion, teach me how to walk in the gifts of the Spirit. And these are all things that are reflected on the people so they can say something about you. Prayer is something that nobody else sees and only you and God know about. But that's not what I want to learn. I don't want to learn how to be victorious in my closet. I want to learn how to be victorious in the world. Well, brothers and sisters, what Jesus modeled was that one must be victorious in the prayer closet so you can be victorious in the world. And yet, the prayer closet is often ignored for the worldly view of personal greatness. So let's carry that thought. Paul goes on to teach some great things here. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. In other words, don't say things that are injurious to people. See, you read that passage and you think Paul is saying don't cuss. It's not what Paul is saying. Paul isn't addressing that. Paul is saying don't let corrupt things come out of your mouth, because then he goes on to tie into that and say, but only what is good for edification. See? So you can't just go around saying bad things to people and pulling them down. Now, here's the thing to watch out for. Words have eternal consequence. That's why some of us right now, those of you that are over 40, when I get there, you can tell me about it. But those of you that are over 40, see, this is something the Lord keeps beating into my head. He keeps beating this into my head. And I'm starting to really become aggravated with it, because I'm sitting there saying, I got it. And he's like, no, you don't. And I say, okay, do it again, because you're God and I'm going to submit. And he says these words to me. He said, why is it that my people obey what a system that has failed tells them about themselves. Do you know you draw conclusions based on they said? Did God tell you your body's supposed to fall apart at 40? Then why do you believe it? Why do you preface things such as, can you tell me what you did 3 weeks ago? You got to give me a moment now because I'm getting older now and I don't have Alzheimer's. I got half-zimer's. And you know how it is when you get older. No. What we were taught is that the memory system is like a file cabinet. And every day you add more files. It's still in there. Stop saying, I can't remember like I used to, and start saying, give me a moment to recall it. Give me a moment to retrieve it. You might have to use different things to jog the memory, but it's in there. But no, you just assume that since you made 40, 50, or whatever, well, you know how it is. I done got old, and Enoch is up in heaven, 365 years old, saying, what you mean you old? You 40 years old. You just a child. In fact, Isaiah said when Jesus runs his millennium government, people will die at 100 and be called children, and you're struggling to make 50. I done got old now. Best years of your life are 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, and 90. The best years of your life. The devil has robbed them because you believe you're supposed to retire at 65. You believe it. You believe it. You believe that you don't have any value at 65. So then you sit home and rock and watch soap operas and fry your brain. When you ought to be volunteering to work with our after school program and work with our daycare children and work with children and pour that wisdom into them.
For a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
10417A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Want to hear more of Bishop Lambert? Now you can access recent sermons preached by Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. from your computer and mobile device. Just visit EricLambertMinistries.com. EricLambertMinistries.com is updated each week with the most recent sermons preached by Bishop Lambert right after our 7:30 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Sunday services. Purchase and download these uplifting messages so you can listen to the Word of God wherever you go. So visit EricLambertMinistries.com and add to your digital library today.